She's Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the glories of Lord Nityananda Balaram. Vande Ananta Adbhuta Aishvaryam. Vande Nanda Bhuta Aishvaryam. Vande Ananta Adbhuta Aishvaryam. Sri Nityanandam Ishvaram. Sri Nityanandam Ishvaram. Yasya Ichaya Tatswarupam. Tatswarupam. Yasya Ichaya Tatswarupam. Vande Nanta Adbhuta Aishvaryam. Sri Nityanandam Ishvaram. Yasya Ichaya Tatswarupam. Agnyenapi Nirupyate. Let me offer my obeisances to Lord Sri Nityananda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose opulences are wonderful and unlimited. By his will, even a fool can understand his identity. I have described the glories of Lord Chaitanya in 6 verses. Now in 5 verses, I shall describe the glories of Lord Nityananda. Sarva avatari Krishna swayam Bhagavan Tanhara Dvitiya Deha Sri Balaram. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations. Lord Balaram is his second body. Eke Isvarupa Donhe Bina Matra Kai. These two are one and the same identity. They differ only in form. Lord Balaram is the first bodily expansion of Krishna, and he assists the Lord in transcendental pastimes. That original Lord Krishna appeared in Navadvipa as Lord Chaitanya, and Balaram appeared with him as Sankarsana Karanatoyashai Garbodjai Chapayobdishai Sheshastashayangsa Kalasa Nitya Nandakya Rama Sharanam Namastu. May Lord Sri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance. Sankarsan, Shesha, Naga, and the Vishnus who lie on the Karana, Garba, and Shira ocean are his plenary portions, and the portions of his plenary portions. Shri Balaram Gosani Mula Sankarsan Panchurupa Dari Karin Krishnara Sevan. Lord Balaram is the original Sankarsan. Yeah. He assumes 5 other forms to serve Lord Krishna. So first he's Sankarsan. Here's Krishna. Then now he expands himself as Balaram. Right? Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas. Right? God is one. Right? Right, okay. But different categories, different little piggies. Yeah. Krishna, Balaram, or Mahavishnu, yeah, and all the other Vishnus. Radharani. Shiva. Narada Muni. Narada Muni. And in, yeah, Shivas, okay. Or Jehovah, Jesus, Paramatma, Mother Mary, and St. Francis of Assisi. It's the same conception, yeah. That God is one, but he has different aspects. Example is given like there are 3 categories of the same substance. Ice, water, steam. And steam. It's the same substance, but different categories. So this is all different categories of the same substance, like that. God is one, like that. Yeah, but he had different categories, like that. And we have different relationship with them. What is the weight of the average cloud? See the test of scientific knowledge here. Nobody knows? 10,000 pounds. Okay. The difficulty was not in weighing the average cloud, but in finding the average cloud. That was the problem. Okay. So if you have a 10,000-pound block of ice, this is the same as the cloud that floats in the sky, but it's a different relationship. Different relationship like that. So Krishna expands himself. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodido Godai Nathadavana. Vande Shri Krishna, no. What's the first, very first verse? Vande Gurun Isha Bhaktan Isha Isha Avatarakan Taprakashang Shakti Krishna Chaitanya Samgetan. It's the very first verse. I offer my respectful obeisance to the spiritual masters, to Krishna himself, then Prakash. That's for the expansion like that. Then Avatar. So, Vidvira and Mainda, you know them? Ever hear of them? They're famous guys. Unless you get 25 points, you can't have prasadam. Okay, for 5 points, who knows who? Vidvira. Kila. Okay. And who's Mainda? It's mentioned in the Krishna book. Mainda. Vidvira and Mainda. It's his brother. His brother, yeah. So they were big, powerful guys. They did so many austerities to get benedictions from Brahma. And then when Ram came, they were thinking, you know, he's the supreme absolute, like that. And we're going to serve him. Even though he shoots us full of arrows, whap, and smash us, you know, on the head, we're going to serve him, like that. So they did so much service for Ram in Ram Leela. But they couldn't appreciate Lakshman. They thought Lakshman was some guy like them who'd done a lot of austerities and had some, like, you know, special Shakti like that. So they could appreciate God, but they couldn't appreciate Guru, right? Many groups like that. I remember used to drive by on, what is it, 101 or something. There was a big banner on the side of a building, some Korean church, and it said, God is love. Well, yeah, it's true, but it's kind of like that, you know. God is ice. Yeah, God is water. But so many people, the Christians, they say that Jesus Christ is God. You know, God can't take a form like this. Prabhupada says the Maya bodies, because they can't appreciate the Krishna as a person, so all they can see is the enormous feet of their Guru Maharaj. That's Guru Maharaj. He's a God man. He's become God. You know? Yeah, so don't you go? So many groups like that. So they can appreciate God, but they can't appreciate Guru. And I know several people like this. They're heavy Ram Bhaktas. They cry. They have different experiences. But you ask them about Lakshman and Sita, and they go, well, you know. Because if I have to accept Ram, Sita and Lakshman, that puts me one step down the ladder, like that. There's one famous devotee, I think he's an immigration lawyer in ISKCON now. When he joined ISKCON, he thought he was Krishna, right? Temple of San Diego, I think, you know. But after 5 days, he realized he wasn't Krishna. He was Lord Chaitanya. See? So people are confused about these things. Maybe we have some kind of a little bit clear conception, but if you stuck so many groups like that. Some people are theists, some people are materialists. But this is one first level to appreciate that Krishna is not really, you can't understand him really without his expansion, without God. In the Bible, it's exactly the same thing in the Gospel of John. It says, in the beginning was the Logos. The Logos was with God. The Logos was God and became man, like that. You know, biology, psychology, geology, logo. It's that which goes between. It's Guru, you know, so on. So without that, it's very difficult to understand Krishna. One example is given like the lotus. You know, when the lotus has a nice pond of water, then the sun is the friend of the lotus. But when the water is all dried up, then the sun is too strong and it destroys the lotus, like that. So without Guru, you know, Krishna is too strong. He destroys us. St. Francis has a nice poem about that too. Talking about that, without following the sadhana rules and regulations in Christ, I'll just take you as material or something like that. And you will fall down, he says. God's not going to fall down, but he's saying that, you know, my conception of you, God's in heaven or something like that. It's not real, you know. But we have this opportunity of coming in contact with Guru, right? Then we can understand, you know. Balaram, so he's has all the potency of Krishna. Does he have all 64 qualities of Krishna? A nice discussion this morning. Yeah. Does he have all 64 qualities of Krishna? There you go. Yeah, I guess so. Sometimes, yeah.
There's a story about, I forget whether it's Guru Das and Jamuna or something, someone was saying, or Brahmananda, someone was saying to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, we have a disagreement, you know, that Jamuna says that Krishna and Balaram are exactly the same, except that Balaram is white. And Prabhupada says, that's correct.
Yeah.
And then he said, but I'm saying that, you know, like
Balaram doesn't enjoy pastimes with Radharani, or you know, some I forget what it was, and then Prabhupada says, that's correct. And then says, but Prabhupada, they can't both be correct. And he said, that's correct.
Shut up and get to work. Yeah. Prabhupada says it's all in, even Krishna can't figure out who he is. Like that. You know? He's in Vrindavan and he tries to show, you know, convince the cowherd boys that he's not some cowherd, he's actually the son of a great king, like that, great prince, you know. Then he tries to show them he's God, and he shows the Virat Roop. And the cowherd boys just fall on the ground laughing. They say, wow, it's really neat, you know. Did Nanda Maharaj teach you how to do that? Can you show us too? Like that, you know. So then Krishna begins to think, well, maybe I'm not God. No, I am God. I am God. I think I'm God. So in Vrindavan, even Krishna's, you know, confused sometimes about this. Prabhupada says everything is inconceivable. You know? But, okay, for us there's something. So, Balaram, I was reading a purport by Bhaktisiddhanta to Chaitanya Bhagavat. I wish I had written down the exact location. But he explains that when Balaram is dancing with gopis, it's in the same mood as a dance teacher, right? Like some, you know, some ladies want to learn to do the cha-cha or the rumba. So they talk to each other, they talk around, they find there's a nice dance school with a nice teacher there, a nice guy. And so the guy, they go and he says, oh, yeah, come, please. We have, you know, lessons these nights like that. So they go and he's dancing with them, you know. You know? So he's enjoying conjugal ras with them, but not directly. He's thinking, oh, wow, these ladies are going to have a lot of fun with their husbands at different parties like that, and they can do this, their husbands will do that. So Balaram, when he's dancing with the gopis, he's showing them what it's like to dance with Krishna, right? He never directly enjoys like this conjugal rasa with him, but this is what it's like. He's enjoying, like thinking, oh, they'll be qualified to cook for Krishna, to dress themselves like that. So he's enjoying, you know, but it's very subtle, right? Yeah. Advaita Achari, I mean Nityananda, supposedly he was traveling all over Navadvipa. Sometimes he was dressed only in the four directions, like that, no clothes, absorbed in the mood of a little cowherd boy. But again and again, he would say again, I am a servant of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I am a servant of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I am a servant of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Yeah. Of course, Lord Chaitanya was always trying to be a devotee and get, you know, serve Lord Nityananda, Balaram. But very difficult, you know. So this is explaining that Lord Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead servitor, right? And it's explained, also Prabhupada is explaining that there's these expansions. There's Swayam Prakash, Tadatmika Prakash. There's about five or six things like this. And they're explained in Madhya Leela in the instructions to Sanatana Goswami in chapter 20. And it's very technical. You know, he goes through all these technical things like that. Tadikatma, Swayam Prakash. Because when Krishna expands himself in the Rasa Leela, then every Krishna there is pretty much, you know, full Krishna like that. But when he expands himself as two-armed Krishna in Dwarka, okay, now it's different. Doesn't play a flute, doesn't experience marvelous childhood pastimes or parikya ras like that. Yeah, so it's a form like that. So remember one lecture, as I remember Prabhupada was talking in Bombay, maybe 2,000-3,000 people in the lecture, and, you know, many people, Brahmins, and some old ladies and children. And Prabhupada's talking all about this Swayam Prakash, you know, then Balaram expands himself as Mahashankarshan, then he expands himself as the three Purusha avatars, he expands himself as Sesha, he had to serve Krishna as the bed in Vaikuntha, material world, like that. Swayam Prakash, Tadatmi Prakash, Vibhinansha, you know. And so he's talking to this microphone, you know, and he says, so, you must know all these things. And he kind of leans back, I think, and the public address system microphone didn't pick it up, but the, you know, recorder did. He says, so you must know all these things. But not right away. Yeah, because later on it makes a big difference. Later on it's actually, you know, in terms of your service and serving Krishna and stuff like that, it's very important. It's like Vidvida. They couldn't appreciate the difference between who Balaram was, but then Balaram was so kind to him that he taught him who he was, right? When in the next Leela like that. You know. And because he didn't have a guru, he fell into bad association. I think it was with Bulbasaur. He got into bad association with Bulbasaur and became a demon like that. He was actually killing people and causing so much harassment to the Yadu dynasty, kidnapping men and raping women. And finally, he heard this beautiful music coming from the Raivata Mountains. And he went there with Lord Balaram drinking Varuni, and his eyeballs were rolling like that. It was, and the, all the girls were singing beautiful songs like that. It was a whole wonderful atmosphere. So then he began to, what did he do? Can you even describe it?
Showed the lower part of his body.
He began to flash the gopis, right? Like shows the lower part of his body to the gopis, like that, you know, stuff, you know. This guy's pretty gross, you know. Move his eyebrows. And the gopis were like, you know, kind of like just laughing at him. And then he stole the pot of Varuni then, and that got Balaram angry. Someone stole his liquor like that, you know. So he started fighting with him, and they were hitting each other with clubs and trees, and he smashed him on his head. Lord Balaram smashed him on his head, and it looked like a mountain hit by a thunderbolt with red oxide coming out. His blood was coming out of his head. Can you imagine this gorilla? Like, if he was here, like, you know, it'd be like 8 feet tall in the room, 7 feet tall in the room here, like that, just like solid as a stone, you know. And after that, they were throwing rocks at each other, and then there were, Vidvita was taking trees and trimming off the extra parts like that and hitting him. But as he would throw these rocks at Lord Balaram, he would smash into pieces with his club. And Hidayananamara said, this is the origin of baseball. It's where baseball would begin like that. You know? The Vidvitas versus the Ramas. You know? Well, I didn't know it. I'm not denying it. Yeah. So, and finally he smashed him on his collarbone, though, and he died like that. But he was appreciating that Guru is just as powerful as Krishna. So Lord Balaram, and he's always there. We get to see this in Christian tradition. You have, you know, Jesus and Christ and Jehovah. In Krishna's pastimes, Krishna and Balaram, Ram's pastimes, there's Ram and Lakshman. And they have different roles, different functions like that. And so, and what is Srila Prabhupada? What is his relationship to Balaram? What is Srila Prabhupada's relationship with Balaram? Huh? He's representative. You know, Prabhupada says when Balaram is incarnating, when he's appearing, Krishna is talking to Subhadra and saying that Ananta Sesha is in the womb of Devaki, so you must transfer him to the womb of Rohini, like that. Yeah. And because he's being attracted like that to the other womb, he'll be known as Sankarsan. And because he gives the strength by which one can achieve the highest happiness, he'll be known as Balaram. So Prabhupada says in our philosophy, spiritual master is accepted as representative of Lord Nityananda or Lord Balaram. So we should expect that from Prabhupada, you know, these same characteristics. One time Lord Balaram was playing chess with Rukmi and the king of Kalinga, like that. Is he very expert at these sports like that, gambling and stuff? No, but he's very enthusiastic like that, you know. So many pastimes. Yeah. Tell one story about kind of Prabhupada like this, illustrates it. I think Balavanta was explaining that in Atlanta, they had a very, very big program. They were having a fire sacrifice and all this stuff, you know. And they made always propaganda to the press. And they had somebody from the mayor's office there, and it was on live television or something, you know. But they were doing everything wrong in terms of, like, these rituals and stuff. And Prabhupada was on the Vyasasana. He was becoming more and more, like, agitated. And they were getting ready for the fire sacrifice, and they put the coconut in the fire pit or something like that. Always, like, Prabhupada said, why are you doing that? Who told you to do that? You know, and Balavanta was saying it was a fact. They'd gotten in way over their head. They were trying to like do all these things and stuff, and it was just, you know, way over their head in terms of like what they could actually do properly. And so Prabhupada was getting more and more irritated. And then finally there was one boy fanning Prabhupada, you know, Bhakta Leroy. Yeah. And so finally Balavanta said, heard the boy say, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, just chant Hare Krishna." And so he thought, okay, that's it. You know, fire is going to come from Prabhupada's eyes. He's going to burn the mayor to death on television. He's going to kill us all. That's it. It's finished. That's like, you know. So Prabhupada turned towards his boy like that, and he's smiling, you know. And Prabhupada put his hand in his bead bag and started chanting Hare Krishna. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare. So I would interpret it as meaning he looked and here's Krishna. Krishna's talking to me and he's saying, "Oh, Prabhupada, they're just kids and let me, you know, tolerant, you know." So sometimes Krishna's like that, you know. And then, okay, Balaram, Guru says, okay. You know? Other times, Guru says, no, you're God, but I'm your Guru. So you're not disturbed, but they have to do this right. So I'm going to like correct them like that. So it's two different dealings, you know, with God and Guru, Balaram and Krishna.
Okay.
Yeah. So any comments? Other people's comments? This is kind of general perspective. Yeah, who is Lord Balaram?
That very important is that he is Lord Balaram relishes the position of being Krishna's servitor. This is pointed out in the Chaitanya Charitamrita quite thoroughly about how Lord Balaram is the servant of the Lord.
Yeah.
And all the other devotees also. Yeah. That's the cherished position to be the servant of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
The material world, it gets reversed by him. Fear arises when one becomes turned around in the wrong direction and forgets about that. But Balaram, as the original guru, shows that, you know, the highest position is to be the best servitor.
Even Lord Chaitanya himself is always trying. We mentioned this morning, like, Advaitacharya was always disturbed because Lord Chaitanya was always serving him and everything else like that. He could never, in that humor as a devotee, he could never, like, serve him, you know. He's always, you're older Brahman, so many things. So one time, then Advaitacharya conceived this idea about how to get Lord Chaitanya to become act as his master. So he started preaching Mayavad philosophy on the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam, like that. And this Nimai heard this, he just went crazy. You know, he ran to Advaita's house and explained he's dragging him about by his hair and was going to start beating him with a stick. And Sita, his wife, came out to protect him. He said, oh, don't beat this old man. You'll kill him, please, like that. But then Advaita was just in ecstasy from the beginning. He was just yelling out, just see, he's my master. He's beating me. He's my master. He's correcting me. See? Like that. Everybody see, you know. And then Nimai was in totally, spificated. And, oh my God, he tricked me. You tricked me. Yeah. So he went home like that, you know. Yeah. But even Advaitacharya, you know, wants to be in this position. But it's so relevant. Oh boy. Krishna Madhurya Eka Adbhuta Svabhava Apani Ashvarite Krishna Kari Bhakti Bhava. Conjugal love of Krishna is so nice that Krishna himself incarnates to try and taste it. Like that. He tries to take the position of Radharani. Whether he's successful or not, people have this argument about that, you know. Some people say that Gadadhar is Rukmini, is Radharani robbed of her effulgence. The Lord Chaitanya has taken her humor. And so she is like, you know, in this pitiable state of not being able to manifest this. But she's aggressively pitiable. You know, Gadadhar is just showing everybody, like, just see, like, this guy has taken my effulgence, like that, you know. And there's a comment, it's Gaur Govinda Maharaj, that eventually, you know, the property will return to the owner, like that, you know. The Lord Chaitanya Krishna can't keep this forever. Eventually it'll go back to, you know, to Radharani like that. And those who have helped her in her difficult times like this will get big reward later on like that, you know. So we support Gadadhar like that, you know. And then she's, you know, Gadadhar, Radharani, is Parashakti. Yeah, Parashakti. Yeah, and we are the marginal potency. And we can develop different qualities like that. In the association of Lord Chaitanya, we can chant Hare Krishna and feel some ecstasy. Then if we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, our material desires will go away like that. And then we can understand Vrindavan, the spiritual world, at that point. If we understand Vrindavan, then we can get the service of the Goswamis, the Manjaris, like that. And then we can fully develop the emotional love of God and the mood of the gopis, like that. So that's a progression. And so one step along the way is understanding Balaram, like that. You know? But it's not a matter just of like intellectual understanding. We're discussing all this. You got like this, you know, Krishna, Balaram, Shankarshan, Vasudeva, it was a Prajumna Aniruddha. Okay, then somewhere here, I'm not sure where it comes from. There's a second Shan. No, there's Narayan. Who does Narayan come from? Mahashankarshan or Narayan and Vaikuntha? I know either. Okay, so working on it. Okay. Then from Narayan come the second Chaturvyuh, and then Shankarshan becomes Mahavishnu, Pradyumna becomes Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and Aniruddha becomes Shiradakshaya Vishnu. Okay, I understand Godhead now. Like that. Where's my cigar? You know? Yeah. But it's useful, developing this intellectual understanding, because we can appreciate that, you know, Balaram is not Krishna. Yeah, but they have, you know, same potency. Other way is just chant Hare Krishna and chant Hare Rama, Hare Rama, like that. And gradually it'll be revealed to us. And also you can hear pastimes of Krishna in the Krishna book, right? And these also directly stimulate, you know, our experience of who is Balaram. So somewhere here I got, that's delivering the message, there it is. Krishna erects Dwarka Fort. After his death, Kongsa's two wives became widows. According to Vedic civilization, a lady is never independent. She has three stages of life. In her childhood, she should be protected by her father. As a young girl, she should marry a girl by her husband. In the event of the death of her husband, she should live under the care of her grown-up children. Or if she has no grown-up children, she should go back to her father and live as a widow under his protection. It appears that Kongsa had no grown-up sons. After becoming widows, his wives returned to the shelter of their father. Kongsa had two queens. One was Asti, and the other was Prapti. And both happened to be the daughters of King Jarasandha, the lord of the Bihar province, known in those days as Magadha Raj. After reaching home, both queens explained their awkward position following Kongsa's death. The king of Magadha, Jarasandha, was mortified on hearing their pitiable condition due to the slaughter. When informed of the death of Kongsa, Jarasandha decided on the spot that he would rid the world of all the members of the Yadu dynasty. He decided that since Krishna had killed Kongsa, the whole dynasty of Yadu should be killed. He began to make extensive arrangements to attack the kingdom of Mathura with his innumerable military phalanxes, consisting of many thousands of chariots, horses, elephants, infantry soldiers. Jarasandha prepared 13 such military phalanxes in order to retaliate the death of Kongsa. Taking with him all his military strength, he attacked the capital of the Yadu kings, Mathura, surrounding it from all directions. Sri Krishna, who appeared as an ordinary being, saw the immense strength of Jarasandha, which appeared as an ocean about to cover a beach at any moment. He also perceived the inhabitants of Mathura were overwhelmed with fear. Yeah. He began to think within himself about the situation, of his mission as an incarnation, and how to tackle the present situation before him. His mission was to diminish the overburdened population of the world. Therefore, he took the opportunity of facing so many men, chariots, elephants, and horses. The military strength of Jarasandha had appeared before him, and he decided to kill the entire force of Jarasandha so that they would not be able to go back and again reorganize their military strength. While Lord Balaram was thinking this way, two military chariots fully equipped with drivers, weapons, flags, and other implements arrived for him from outer space. Krishna saw the two chariots present before him and immediately addressed his attendant brother Balaram, who is known as Sankarshan. My dear elder brother, you are the best of the Aryans. You are the lord of the universe, and specifically you are the protector of the Yadu dynasty. The members of the Yadu dynasty sense great danger before the soldiers of Jarasandha, and they are very much aggrieved. Just to give them protection, your chariot is also here, filled with military weapons. I request you to sit down on your chariot and kill all these soldiers, the entire military strength of the enemy. Naturally, both of us have descended on this earth just to annihilate such unnecessary bellicose forces and to give protection to the pious devotees. So we have the opportunity to fulfill our mission. Please let us execute it. Thus Krishna and Balaram, the descendants of the Gada king, Dasara, decided to annihilate the 13 military companies of Jarasandha. Jarasandha met with Krishna and Balaram and he said, "It would be a great dishonor for me to fight with boys like Krishna and Balaram. But because Krishna has killed Kongsa," Jarasandha addressed him as a killer of his own relatives. Kongsa had killed so many of his own nephews. Yet Jarasandha did not take much notice of that. But because Krishna had killed his maternal uncle, Kongsa, Jarasandha criticized him. In that way, that is the way of demoniac dealings. Demons do not try to find their own faults, but try to find the faults of their friends. Jarasandha also criticized Krishna for not being a Kshatriya, because he was raised by Nanda, Krishna was not a Kshatriya, but a Vaishya. The Vaishyas are called Gupta. The word Gupta can also mean hidden. So Krishna was both hidden and raised by Nanda Maharaj. Jarasandha accused Krishna of three faults: that he killed his own maternal uncle, that he was hidden in his childhood, and he was not even a Kshatriya. Therefore, Jarasandha felt ashamed to fight with him. Next he turned to Balaram and addressed him, "You, Balaram, if you like, you can fight along with him. And if you have patience, then you can wait to be killed by my arrows. Thus you can be promoted to heaven." Right. After hearing Jarasandha speaking that way, Krishna answered, "My dear king of Jarasandha, those who are heroes don't talk so much. Rather, they show their prowess. Because you are talking so much, it appears that you are assured of your death in this battle. We do not care to hear any more of your words, because it is useless to hear the words of a person who is going to die." In order to fight with Krishna, Jarasandha is surrounded from all sides with great military strength. And the sun appeared covered by the cloudy air and dust. Similarly, Krishna, the supreme sun, appeared covered by the military strength of Jarasandha. Krishna and Balaram's chariots were marked with pictures of Garuda and Balaram. Palm tree. And Balaram. The women of Mathura were all standing on tops of the houses and palaces, engaged to see the wonderful fight. But when Krishna's chariot was surrounded by Jarasandha's military force, they became so frightened that some of them fainted. Krishna saw himself overburdened by the military strength of Jarasandha. His small number of soldiers were being harassed by them. So he immediately took up his bow named Sharanga. Yeah. He began to take his arrows from their case, and one after another he set them in the bowstring and shot them toward the enemy. They were so accurate that the elephants, horses, infantry soldiers were quickly killed. The incessant arrows thrown by Krishna appeared as a whirlwind of blazing fire, killing all the military strength of Jarasandha. As Krishna released his arrows, gradually all the elephants began to fall down, their heads severed by arrows. Similarly, all the horses fell and the chariots also, along with their flags. The chariot fighters and the chariot drivers fell as well. Almost all the infantry soldiers fell on the field of the battle, their heads, hands, and legs cut off. In this way, many thousands of elephants and horses were killed, and their blood began to flow, just like the waves of a river. In that river, the severed arms of the men appeared to be snakes. Their heads appeared to be tortoises, and the dead bodies of the elephants appeared to be small islands. The dead horses appeared to be sharks. By the arrangement of the supreme will, there was a great river of blood flowing with paraphernalia. The hands and legs of the infantry soldiers appeared like a floating seaweed, and the floating bows of the soldiers appeared to be like waves in the river. Wow. All the jewelry from the bodies of the soldiers and commanders appeared to be like so many pebbles flowing down that river of blood. Lord Balaram, who is known as Sankarshan, he said that Balaram was seeing all this, and he was feeling like, you know, hey, man, I'm being left out here. Yeah. So it's a story that after Krishna leaving his body, finishing his pastimes, Krishna and Balaram were arguing who killed the most demons in this particular incarnation. So they went to Brahma and asked him to be the judge and make a decision. And Brahma's thinking, oh my God, if I tell Krishna he killed more, then Balaram will be angry. And if I tell Balaram, then Krishna will be angry at me. So he's thinking, finally he says, okay, Balaram, Krishna killed more demons than you, but the ones you killed were more powerful. Okay. Yeah. Balaram, who was also known as Sankarshan, began to fight with his club in such a way that the river of blood created by Krishna overflooded. Those who were cowards became very much afraid upon seeing the ghastly and horrible scene. And those who were heroes began to talk delightedly, amongst themselves about the heroism of the two brothers. Although Jarasandha was equipped with a vast ocean of military strength, the fighting of Lord Krishna and Balaram converted the whole situation into a ghastly scene, which was far beyond ordinary person fighting. Persons of ordinary mind cannot estimate how it is possible, but when such activities are accepted as the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under whose will everything is possible, then it can be understood. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is creating, maintaining, and dissolving the cosmic manifestation by his will. For him to create such a vast scene of devastation while fighting with the enemy is not so wonderful. And yet, because Krishna and Balaram were fighting with Jarasandha, just like ordinary human beings, the affair appeared to be wonderful. Jai, Krishna and Balaram ki.
Jai.
Jai. Yeah. So, Krishna and Balaram. Oh, yeah, so I remember I got this book. I think Buddhimanta is some of my first book. Buddhimanta. And I was reading the book like that, and these stories, you know. And I was using yoga to apply my mind and trying different things. And as I was reading this book, suddenly at one point, my mind said, this is either like the absolute truth or the biggest lie that was ever written. Like that. Because even like in science fiction books, it's like and what to speak of writing it like it's true, and then talking about how it's true, you know. So my mind said, this is either, you okay, boy? Everybody come closer. Everybody move towards Radha Krishna also. Move 2 feet to your left. 2 feet to your left. There you go. Yeah. So, yeah, it's either the absolute truth or it's an absolute lie. So my mind said, well, either it's the absolute truth or it's an absolute lie. Right? Everyone's gone here. Okay. Either this book is the absolute truth or it's an absolute lie. But in either case, it's absolute. Right? That was my mind with that whole thing like that. You know? So I began to realize, it's self-evident. Right? There cannot be any proof of God. The whole question, can you prove that God exists? It's a meaningless question. You know what God means? God means the origin of everything else, the absolute truth. Therefore, you can't use anything else to prove that he exists. So same way, I came to this point by reading this thing and kind of vegetarian, that this was like, this book is the absolute truth. Either it's an absolute lie or it's the absolute truth. Either way, it's absolute. Like that, you know? And I got other realizations too along with it. Yeah. Also, every single philosophy I come in contact with, probably explained them all like that. I put them in all proper position like that. So it came to this Vaishnava conclusion. Like that. So that's, Guru. He comes into this world. Krishna kind of shows us the proper example. He doesn't fall down. Lord Chaitanya is engaged in very elevated pastimes. But then Krishna Balaram, Guru, comes and he bends the rules. He does, all kinds of stuff to make adjustments. Of course, I tell this story many times. Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya were going down the river by the Ganga. And Nittai and Nimai. And Lord Chaitanya, Nimai is about how much older than Lord Chaitanya? About 10 years? I think it'd be about 10 years older, like that. So about 30. And anyway, they're going down there and then just going someplace. And Nityananda says, oh, Nimai, up in there's a little hut up there. I know one sannyasi lives there. Come, let's go see him. Come on, I want you to meet him. So he goes up there. And the sannyasi comes out. He has a big white beard. He says, oh, Nityananda, so nice to see you again. Oh, and who's your beautiful young friend here? Pure Brahmin boy. Oh, so effulgent. I want to give him a benediction. Boy, I give you the benediction. You have beautiful wives and opulence and all money and all these things. So Lord Chaitanya is covering his ears and going, oh, Vishnu, Vishnu, like that. So sannyasi, a little disturbed. He was like, why is this guy rejecting my benedictions? But Nityananda said, oh, don't worry. He's kind of a young guy. Yeah, he doesn't know what's good in life like that. So don't worry, like that. Okay. So he said, okay, well, come on in. It's time for lunch. So he sat down there, and then the sannyasi's wife came in, right, to serve lunch, And Lord Chaitanya is looks at Nityananda like that, and he says, that's okay, it's okay. So he's eating like that. And after lunch, and the sannyasi tells Nimai, he says, do you want some Ananda? And Lord Chaitanya doesn't know what he means, and he says, again, do you want some Ananda? Like that. So Lord Chaitanya asks Nityananda, he says, does he want us to do kirtan or something like that? And Lord Chaitanya said, Nityananda says, no, he's asking if you want to drink some wine. Like that. So Nimai jumps up and goes, runs out down, jumps in the Ganga with all his clothes on. And Nityananda's running after him, screaming like a madman, jumps in. And Lord Chaitanya's splashing water on him. He's splashing water on Lord Chaitanya. And after that, they come out, dry their clothes, and go on like that. So Lord Chaitanya cannot give mercy to a person like that, right? He can't go to that kind of person because he keeps his position of being pure sannyasi, everything like that. So he expands himself as Nityananda. And he hopes that Nityananda will, you know, do these things, right? Act in a way that he can then, you know, be tricked into giving his mercy. When Balaram was taking Varuni, he went to dance with the gopis. You know, when Krishna was gone, they were suffering like anything. When Uddhava came, it helped a little bit like that. But later on, Balaram came, and he was just engaging in pastimes again with them, and they were feeling so much relief, you know, in Balaram's company. So many times they were doing these Rasalila dances together, and you know, all this Varuni was oozing from the trees, like maple syrup, kind of maple syrup type stuff. And he had a big pot, and Balaram was drinking, and getting more and more intoxicated like that. And at one point, he was like, you know, staring at an ant hole like that, you know, challenging the king of the ants to come out and fight like a man. Come on out. I can take you. Maybe some ant bit him or something like that and ran away. Come on out, yeah. And then he was complaining because the moon was dividing up like that. What's going on here? Like that. It's more than one moon. And why is Indra laughing at me? You know. So Prabhupada says, may we all pray that Lord Balaram, in that intoxicated state, may see a few good qualities in us. Right? Maybe Lord Balaram, in that intoxicated state, will see a few good qualities in us like that. Yeah, Dianetti, he's not so bad. I know the guy, you know. He always hits the brake, you know, instead of the clutch, you know. Yeah, like that, yeah. Good guy, you know. He only killed three people driving. Good guy, you know. So it's, you know, it's a very personal thing. We can have some kind of logical philosophy, but what it comes down to is that it's very personal. It's just Krishna's a person. You know? Krishna incarnated as Lord Varaha. And, it, you know, if you see pigs in Vrindavan, in India you see pigs, right? Especially if you're from Vasilka. Some cities they can't get rid of them. There's unlimited numbers. Where was it? Jamuna? Ganga Jamuna? They're always pigs. I've never seen so many pigs like that. And he said, yeah, the mayor tried to round them up and get them out, and they couldn't do it. It was like some karma, you know. Actually, jokingly, it was known as the city of pigs like that. And it's, you know, how big is an Indian pig? Is it this big? Is it this big? Sometimes, like maybe like this, right? You know, I saw one pig this big eating a plastic bag covered with junk on it, garbage. And I'm sure he must have done this before, but this guy is even, like, you know, digesting plastic and stuff. God, you know. But especially seeing them in Vrindavan places. And to my perception, they're like people, like, you know, who go and eat, you know, caviar and frog's legs and escargot cooked in garlic and all this nasty stuff, you know, and wear, you know, don't even bathe properly, but use deodorants and go, like, to these big hotels and have money like that. You know, they birth as pigs, you know, next lifetime. So you see them, they have, like, high-heel shoes on like that. You know, pigs, the way their feet are. It's like they have high-heel shoes. In the back, they have this, like, his hair thing there like that, you know, on the back like that. So if you look at them, they actually, like, in this kind of tamasic way, they look very, like, kind of elegant like that, you know. And so Lord Varaha, he incarnated, and he was going to go save the earth. He's running around like that. You know, people are trumpeting and saying prayers, and he dove into the ocean. He lifted the earth up like that. Madam, you know. And then Hiranyaksha came and said, oh, stop, oh amphibious beast, like that. And it says that Lord Varaha was actually hurt by that comment, you know. He was feeling like he looked actually really good, you know. This guy comes along and says, stop, oh amphibious beast, like that. So he's actually feeling like, you know, insulted by this, you know. So he said, well, true it is that we are beasts of the forest, and we are used to hunting dogs like you, like that. So they exchanged these insults for a while, calling each other pigs and dogs, and then finally they became angry and started fighting like that, you know? So this is it. Krishna's a person, you know? And understanding these things, we have to enter into it as people, right? And then we develop a relationship with Balaram, and as it goes on, then we actually realize that maybe Balaram is not God. Maybe Krishna is not God, right? As you advance, you're going to come to that position like that, right? Yeah. But are you still going to love him? Dun, 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 I'll only love him if he's God. Okay, Vaikuntha! You go, whoosh, yeah, like that. Yeah. And Ram shows a little bit more intimacy. When Gopakumar finally made it to Ayodhya, he was glorifying Ram, and then Ram said, come here, sit down next to me, like that. You know, he saw that you're God, everything else. Finally, he hit Hanuman, and Hanuman over and just dragged him and sat him down next to him, like that. So Ram shows a little more intimacy. Yeah, people can have these feelings in association with him like that. You know? But then finally, in Mathura, and Gokula, it gets more and more intimate like that, and so on. You know, and then finally within Gokula, there's even more different levels like that. You know, so this is our culture and philosophy, and we're trying to, you know, glorify. And our level, we need good intelligence to understand these things. But after that, really ultimately, just chant Hare Krishna and understand who they are and realize that everything is inconceivable. Even Sir Isaac Newton, maybe considered the greatest scientist who ever lived, he said, "I'm just a child picking up little colored stones on the ocean, on the shore of the ocean of knowledge," like that. And that was his conception of what he was trying to do, understand things logically. Actually, he wrote, if I was like five times as much on theology as he wrote on science. His idea of studying nature was to study, he said there's two books for understanding God, the Bible and nature, where God is writing with his own hand, like that. And that's why he did all this investigation. He discovered the laws of optics, the laws of mechanics, the laws of gravity. He invented calculus. It was just like, super dude. But it was for understanding God, his whole thing like that. And he continued with that. But after a while, he became tired of understanding God through nature and was going more into, through scriptural sources and other things like that. Yeah. So, trying to understand who is Balaram. And then at some point we realize that love is above the law, right? But to get there, you got to follow the law. You got to follow the law. So any questions or comments? We got 4 minutes here. Yeah. Yeah. Complaints also. We'll take complaints.
Two things in mind. Is there significance as far as the demons that Balaram kills and Krishna kills? Is there a particular significance of...
Not that I know. Okay. But it's a whole thing by Bhaktivinoda Thakur about demons in Krishna Lila. Mm-hmm. Does Krishna just kill those? Or are those also ones that Balaram killed? Those are ones that Balaram killed also. I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur also explains like Dinukasura. Yeah.
And then just in regards to Guru, Balaram representing Guru, sometimes as one begins a spiritual path, sometimes they're asked, "Do you have a Guru?" or "I don't have a Guru yet," or "Who's your Guru?"
Yeah.
So could you just maybe elaborate a little bit this... Many times we think, "I have a guru when I'm initiated," that now I have a guru.
Yeah.
But even after initiation or before initiation, how can we see the guru, Balaram, coming through?
All right. I will give an example here. You have a question? Come on, you have a question, right?
Yes?
What is your question? The question is supposed to be, "Why are you hitting me?" Yeah. And I say, "I'm not hitting you. The stick is hitting you." Understand? Grasshopper. Yeah. So I understand. Yeah. No. So, we Krishna is always with us as the Paramatma. Advaita, right? Not dual. It's not dual. There's no difference between me and the stick. I'm sorry about that. You're chanting like that. Yeah, yeah. There's no difference. So we always have a guru, and that's Chaita Guru. And everything that happens in the material world is guru, is giving us a lesson. And Krishna can't deal with us personally at that point. We're just too contaminated like that. Like you're playing with a kitty cat, maybe use some string or something like that to play with him. So he comes as Advaita, who is the Paramatma, who externally is time, like that, destiny. Yeah. And so we always have a guru in that sense. No? We can't exist without it. But then as we become more purified, then we can see guru, in different forms like that. And so of course the idea is that Vartmana Pradarshika Guru is somebody who just tries to bring us to the process like that. And probably at one point, I understand, probably uses the word diksha in two ways. Sometimes diksha means the actual ceremony, right? But also, maybe more significantly, it means that person who gives the process that will get you out of the material world. Yeah? Like that. And you formally accept it. Like that. Yeah? And so, and so then, but the Vartmana Pradarshika Guru, what's it called? Another guy? Vartmana Pradarshika, another name. Huh? Papadarshika. Yeah. He shows us the pathway. You know what? To get back to God in. And he takes us to Diksha Guru. And then Krishna became Diksha Guru, you know, and tried to agitate Arjuna in the Battle of Kurukshetra to give up his attachment for Draupadi. He was in the mode of passion. He wanted to satisfy his wife, right? And when the Pandavas lost the game of dice, you know, they almost got her molested. You know, she's walking out, she's untying her hair like that, you know. And Yudhishthira says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm a widow." "I don't have a husband. If I had a husband who was a real man, he would have protected me." So, and they're Kshatriyas like that, you know. So it's like, Bhima's about ready to run back in and just kill them all, you know. Yeah. And so that, and she didn't like do her hair back up. That was the thing. Until she washed her blood, washed her hair in Dushasana's blood. That was it. Forget it. I'm not going to tie it up. Yeah. So in the end, who was Duryodhana afraid of? Yeah. The Pandavas, he thought, okay, in the end, they'll probably do this. Let's let it go by. They're guys. They'll just forget it. But Draupadi's not going to back off. You know? And she's going to keep pushing them until this happens. So ultimately, he was afraid of Draupadi like that. You know. And when American Indian, he said, "You guys think you're strong. The women are stronger. You women think you're strong. The kids are stronger. They do what I want." Yeah. So in the end, that was being pushed like that. You know. And so then he came to the battlefield. He was finally, I get a chance to satisfy my woman like that. Can kill all these rascals and go home, and she'll say, "Thank you, Arjuna," and tie her hair up. And, you know, "I feel so happy. My woman's pleased with me." You know. So he was in Maya. In mode of goodness, pretty much, because it was all righteous. You know, she deserved to have this happen. They, you know, like that. But still, it was karma. And he saw, it's not going to work. You know, someone's going to suffer. So at that point, Krishna became Diksha Guru and put him right in front of Drona and Bhishma and agitated him till he could see what is Maya, right? And what is Draupadi from this perspective. At that point, you know, then he surrendered, right? And so Krishna became Diksha Guru and gave him the process. And the process was, he didn't change his name, he didn't do this. It was that, okay, you just ask questions now like that. You listen for me like that. So he became Govinda, you know, Shiksha Guru, and then gave instructions to a surrendered disciple. Surrender means that you're not going to raise any artificial doubts. Right? You've come to this point. It says that many people, if you died on Mars, says, okay, I got here. That many people criticize Unitarians as looking for God and hoping they don't find him. Right? Many people are looking for God but hope they don't find him. Because if you find him, then, okay. Then so many doubts. I have so many doubts, but I can't surrender really because I have so many doubts about ISKCON like this and that. But they're artificial for that purpose. So Diksha means that you agree not to have any artificial doubts. You can have real doubts. Those are required. Those are natural, and the guru will stimulate those, actually, even. You know? So at that point, Arjuna became a disciple. Sisya teham sarimam dvam prapanam. And that's the process. Diksha was to hear and ask questions from what didn't have to do artik, didn't, you know, it was sufficient. You know? And then Krishna gave him instructions, became Shiksha Guru, like that. So we all, in the seventh canto, what is it? Ninth canto, eighth canto, eighth canto, ninth canto. Ninth canto, the story of Matsya. Seventh canto, the story of eighth canto, story of Matsya Avatar. Maharaj Satyavrata is glorifying God, Matsya. And it talks about him being guru, and Prabhupada says that some people say it's difficult to find a guru from whom to get instructions to get out of this world. And this is not difficult. Krishna is guru. And if you have any difficulty understanding him, understanding the way Arjuna understood him. Yeah? So in that respect, everybody, we have a guru. The thing is not having a guru, the thing is actually following his instructions like that. And, you know, everybody's being guided from within the heart to do things a certain way. And if we, you know, follow our conscience and then so many scriptures, so many, you know, then we always have, you know, some source of guidance. But then specifically when we get Papadarshaka Guru, he's tasting us to this Diksha Guru. And Diksha Guru is somebody who can give us the actual process, you know. If you chant 16 rounds and follow the four principles strictly, 16 good rounds a day, I guarantee that step by step you'll be elevated to the level of Uttamadhikari. Okay. That's, you know, if you can do that, you're a Diksha Guru. Yeah, yeah. And then you follow the process like that, and you get more relevant instructions. And then, you know, different levels of development. Jiva Goswami was the Rasa Guru, right? And many devotees, you know, teaching these more advanced things about different rasas and so on like that. So guru is anybody who trains us. Prabhupada is a teacher. Anybody who trains us in anything. But specifically, you know, being trained to get out of this material world and become resituated again in devotional service, there's Diksha Guru and Shiksha. But then after that, you know, Maitreya went to Uddhava, and Uddhava wouldn't teach him. Uddhava wouldn't take the post of guru. Why is that? Yeah, yeah. Guru Maryada Vyatikrama. Yeah, which means, yeah, not preaching in the presence of a higher authority. And Prabhupada says one should not be very enthusiastic to preach, even if one is more qualified, in the presence of a senior Vaishnava, like that. You know, so very subtle. So he didn't more qualified. Yeah, other reasons too. What was the other reason? Well, that's also third reason. Why did he send him to Maitreya? He sent Vidura to Maitreya.
Because Maitreya was there,
yeah.
And he heard,
yeah,
along with
Uddhava.
Yeah. So he heard from Krishna.
Yeah, yeah. But he was a Jnana Mishra Bhakti. He's like somebody who comes here and says, oh, Mr. Prishak Swami, very interesting what you're saying, but I think that maybe it's a little bit different like this and that. You know? So he's very much tied in the level of Jnana, you know, for his Bhakti. Like that. Right now, this is Jnana Mishra Bhakti, but he's attached to it. And so he wasn't a pure devotee. So Uddhava knew that when Vidura went there, because of his intense devotion, when he asked the proper questions, that would stimulate Maitreya to get the answers and become a pure devotee himself. In the story of Dhruva Maharaj, he's going back to Godhead. He says, I can't go back until my mother comes, you know. I can't leave this world. And then the Vishnudas are laughing and say, look at that boat up there. Your mother is already gone, like that. So the purport, Prabhupada says, there are many examples in the history of Vaishnavism more advanced disciple taking back to Godhead his Shiksha, Diksha, and Vartmana Pradarshika gurus, like that. So the disciple may be more advanced than, you know, than his spiritual master, right? But you take a guru, like that. If nothing else, to set an example. And because you can't do all the roles at the same time. Right? Yeah. It's unlimited. Guru Tattva is Balaram Tattva, and Balaram is unlimited. And so we're just trying to get a practical understanding in terms of where I'm at now, like that. You know? Yeah, yeah, you should be initiated by Srila Prabhupada. It comes down to it, like, you know. Yeah, you know. Well, details, yeah, details. But fuss. Work it out and get initiated. You know, Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta. You know, get into a bona fide line like that. Yeah? Yeah. Jesus Christ. You accept Jesus Christ, you know? Yeah. Yeah, but do it. Okay. So, Papa ki. Shri Balaram Deva ki. Jarasandha ki. Ah, I caught you. See her. I mean, the horns are in the hair, I bet, you know. His wife knows. So, Papa ki.
Thank everyone for coming again. Of course, no reason to thank you. You come because you like to. And the reason is because there's happiness in this process. And I was walking through the park today, and I saw an insect chewing on a eucalyptus leaf. I was positive he was eating it because I could see it. There was bite marks he was making. Seeing that leaf, and I was looking around seeing how everyone, every living being everywhere is eating something or trying to get some taste out of something. This little bug was eating a eucalyptus leaf. There must have been some flavor in it. I was thinking when I walked by, maybe I'll try one later. It's probably tasty. But it just reminded me how everyone's flying around, walking around, swimming around, just tasting things, trying to get some taste. And in the Shastra, there's a definition for the name of Rama, Ramante Yogano Anande, Satyananda Chidatmani. And that means that Rama means the highest pleasure, where the highest spiritual pleasure comes from. So we're very fortunate in so many ways, but one way is that we have a human birth, and human birth means that we can take instruction from Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says, Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukhayo naivate adyantavanta konteya nateshu ramate buddha. He says that there's no pleasure really in the kinds of contact between the senses and their objects because it has a beginning and an end. And a wise person doesn't take pleasure in those things. So by taking part in the process of association with devotees and chanting like we're doing, hearing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we actually become wise and appreciate more and more as our consciousness evolves that the Lord is within the heart, and the highest taste is we get from our relationship with him. And it's a simple relationship. He's the maintainer and I'm the maintained. That's pretty simple, right? When you really think about it. There's all these ontology. We talk about, who Lord Balaram is, and frankly, it's a little incomprehensible sometimes. But when we bring it all down to a simple level, he's my maintainer and I'm being maintained. That's simple and I can actually understand that. And then Krishna gives a very universal instruction at the end of the Bhagavad Gita of how we can appreciate this more. And that is sarva dharman parityaja mame kam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami masuchaha. Any one verse in the Bhagavad Gita, you can just take it and make your whole life centered around it. Any one line, actually, if you take it. We don't have to become also overwhelmed that we have so many books. Just take one verse and follow it every day, every second. And in this verse, sarva dharman parityaja, it means give up everything else and just surrender unto me. And surrender sometimes is called sweet surrender, because when I give up, then Krishna says, Masucha, you have nothing to worry about. And this is the greatest happiness. It's to surrender to Krishna and to give up everything else. And the message of the material world is try to get something for yourself, try to maintain yourself. My mind is telling me that. My senses are telling me that on a fast day. They say, if you don't eat, you'll die. But it's not true. But what is true is Balaram, the spiritual strength that is there when we surrender. And even if we surrender a little bit, it doesn't mean you have to surrender all at once. If you surrender a little bit, the reciprocation will be there from the Lord within the heart. So we can take on this special day, the appearance day of Lord Balaram, this instruction from the Bhagavad Gita that surrender is sweet and there's nothing to worry about if we do surrender, and that all perfection comes in life just by surrendering to Krishna. And that also, through that, we will experience the highest happiness, because that's what we're looking for anyway. So I thank you all for your association on this day. It's just, I was outside talking to some devotees, doing some things that had to be done, and the kirtan was going on inside, and when I came back in, hearing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra chanted in this little teeny, whatever this place is, it's a temple now, but whatever it used to be, I felt like I knew I was entering within the spiritual world. So this is the main purpose of life. Congratulations to everyone for taking it up. And I look forward to seeing you all next week for the Janmashtami ceremony. This is a golden month. We have Lord Balaram's appearance day. We have Janmashtami. We have Srila Prabhupada's appearance day. We have a Radhashtami all in one month. So in one month, we can make great advancement, take full advantage. Go premanande ori ori bo. Shri Balaram ji ki jai.